Well, good morning, everyone. A couple things. About 3 or 4 years ago, I spoke on fellowship, and I looked at some verses in Paul's concluding remarks to the churches, where Paul would use the phrase "one another," and I was looking at fellowship, looking at how our fellowship could be sweeter. And I wanted to expand on that this morning. I finally figured out how to make sure that what you hear is from God and not from me, and that is from reading His Word. So when I looked at those concluding remarks by Paul to the epistles, and we looked at maybe 4 or 5 verses where the term "one another" was used. This morning, we're going to look at 87 verses that are used, the epistles in the Word to the churches or to the brethren. I'm not pulling from the Gospels, not pulling from Acts, not pulling from Revelation, but those books in between. There are 87 verses. No, I think I got that wrong. There's 79 verses where the term "one another" is used 87 times, something like that. So we're going to look at all those verses this morning. And again, this is one sure way to make sure that you're not hearing me or my opinion, but we are getting straight from God's Word what He would have for us. And again, the point being, like on here, I have the subtitle of "Goals of Unity in the Body of Christ." And 2 years ago, my word for the year was unity, and that was driven by that term "one another" that's used in concerning fellowship, one with another. Again, we're looking at unity this morning, fellowship. Now, that means, of course, what we're talking about is between believers. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, then a lot of what we're talking about doesn't apply to you. And I pray that when you see the relationship between believers, that will actually draw you closer. For those of you who don't know the Lord Jesus as Savior, I pray that that will be used to draw you to Him and to a believing knowledge in Him. We are told that, you know, to become a believer, to become a Christian, to be saved, is simply to believe in Him. Put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on Him and you shall be saved. Acts 16:31. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So those are the introductory verses to getting you to a saving knowledge of the Lord. But hopefully, through the verses we'll look at this morning, that will encourage you to draw closer to Him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, again, we thank You for this time together under the sound of Your Word. And we do pray as we look at these verses that we'll be drawn closer to one another through Your Word. Father, we pray that by Your Spirit, You will help us to do the things that would be so unnatural to us, to show a godly love towards one another, to be able to greet, to be able to be hospitable, to be at peace with one another, some things that are so difficult at times. But Father, we know that through Your Spirit, You can help us do these things. So we pray that You'll help us understand what we read, that pray that You'll help us to put into practice what we read as well, that we would not just be hearers of the words, but doers of the work. Again, thank You for Your Son, the Lord Jesus, for the salvation we have freely in Him, because of His great love toward us. And Father, we're just reminded of His commission to love one another as well. So again, Father, we just pray that You would open these things to our minds, our hearts, open our ears to all You would have for us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So we'll begin in Romans. Romans 12:4-5. And I had debated whether we should all read this as one. I don't think we'll do that. Just because it might be confusing. And I will read as long as my voice holds out. If it doesn't, you may have to read for me, but we'll start out with me reading. Romans 12:4-5, and all these are coming from the New King James. For as we have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. So as we look at this, what is this one another about? It's about us being one body, the body of Christ. Now, we're locally here a body, but there's a universal body as well. But as we're having fellowship with one another, we need to be reminded that we are members of this one body. We're not just a bunch of individuals that just go their own way. We're members of one body. And as I go through these verses, you'll notice that I'm bolding one another, and I bold and underline sort of the word or terms that that's talking about. So we'll go to the next verse, Romans chapter 12, verses 10 through 13. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, and honor giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Again, this the thought is kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. That brotherly love is Philadelphia. It is not the agape love. It's Philadelphia. It's a brotherly love. It's again, it's kindly affectionate. That makes sense. We're to be kind to one another, affectionate with one another. The second part is in honor, giving preference to one another, preferring you over me, and you over me, and you over me, and to each other as well. So as we are having our, you know, relationships, or we're communicating with each other, we're doing things together, having this thought of preferring someone over yourselves is a great step in building up that fellowship. When you look at this verse, it's also looking at not lagging in diligence with one another, being fervent in spirit. That fervent in spirit is an intense desire, okay, an intense desire in the spirit with one another, serving the Lord with one another, rejoicing in hope with one another, patient in tribulation with one another. As I was thinking about this, patient in tribulation, sometimes that's the hardest thing to do. When you're going through hard times, a lot of times it's really difficult to be patient with others. Now, when you're having tribulations, if I'm having trouble with a brother or a sister, a lot of times that works on my patience as well, right? So that's one thing we really need to work on, to be patient in tribulation. If there's trouble between us, be patient. My wife and I found that a long time ago. If we were having trouble with someone, if someone was doing something we didn't like, or whatever it was, when we constantly lifted that person up in prayer, and that's this next point, continuing steadfastly in prayer. If you continually pray for someone, it's hard to be mad and upset at them all the time. If you're bringing them before the Lord and asking for their needs to be met, if you're asking for your relationship needs to be met, it's really hard to continue to be upset with someone that you've constantly brought before the Lord. So that's another encouragement for us to continue steadfastly in prayer and patient in our tribulation. Distributing to the needs of the saints. That's one thing that's really, when we had our picnic at the park and we all came together, that's another example of fellowship together, where we are distributing to the needs of the saints together. We're doing this together. And this is that fellowship, that one with another, and given to hospitality. I love the ditties that they are always inviting people to their house for lunch or for meals or something. That has always just encouraged my heart that their home is so open. And I would love for my home to be open. And maybe that's one thing that I will work on more, is my hospitality and opening our home more. But again, I just really appreciate the Denny's and how they've been very hospitable over the years. Next slide is still from Romans. There's a lot in Romans, by the way. Romans 12, 16. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. That the emphasis here is the same mind or like-mindedness. It's not necessarily thinking the same thing, but after it says, do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. There's the humility, searching for like-mindedness with someone. If we think we're higher than someone, if we think we're better than someone, if we sort of have those actions, it's really hard to have fellowship with them. It's really hard to have a relationship with them. But when we're humble, when our attitudes are humble, and we're trying to, again, think on their, sort of be on their level, have that same mind, that like-mindedness, that really encourages our fellowship. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. The love we saw before was Philadelphia. This love is agape. And this love is only because of being a believer. It's impossible to have a unconditional love for someone and a sacrificial love for someone if you don't know the Lord Jesus as Savior. If you haven't experienced that sacrificial love, it's really hard to love someone else. But because we have, as believers, we have experienced that, we should be, again, be sacrificial in our love and unconditional our love for one another. Romans 14:13. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or cause to fall in our brother's way. Let us not judge. Let me get back to my notes. The verses right preceding this says, why do you judge one another? Why do you show contempt for your brother? So this judgment is, you know, therefore let's not judge. Let's not show contempt for each other anymore, but rather let's resolve this and not put a stumbling block in our brother's way. We do that a lot. We tend to tear each other down rather than build each other up. And the encouragement here is between brothers and sisters in Christ, not to judge, not to show contempt. Now, of course, in the world, we have to show judgment. We have to judge between ourselves and others. Why? Because we don't want to be like the world. We're in the world and not of the world. So in a sense, we do have to judge things that are in the world. When we're talking about between brothers and sisters in Christ, we should not be judging one another. The other thing is, right before this, the Lord is talking about how we are going to have to give an account to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another. We're going to have to give an account to God for what we do. So let's be careful with how we, again, judge one another, since we will be judged by the Lord. Romans 14. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which you may edify one another. Again, the edify, the building up, in order that we have, may have peace with one another. If we're tearing each other down, it's very hard to be peaceable with someone that you're constantly berating and tearing down. So let's, again, act, do things, pursue, to actively pursue or follow after those things which make for peace, that we can build up one another. Romans 15, verses 5 and 6. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded, there's like-minded again, toward one another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and with one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, we have this like-minded, we talked about that before, not necessarily thinking the same thing, but working towards the same goals, going in the same direction, and trying to build and encourage each other with that one mind and one mouth, that we may glorify God together. Hard to do if we're constantly trying to be different and try to diverge from what we are doing as an assembly. That we would, with one mind and one mouth, glorify God the Father and our Jesus Christ. You're talking about goals of unity. That's one of our goals together as an assembly, that we might together with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which we do, which we did this morning at the Lord's Supper. Romans 15:7. Therefore, receive one another just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Receive one another. Idea of this is actually the very next verse. So, you know, being like-minded also has this idea, this connotation that we're going to be receptive to one another, receiving one another. Romans 15:14. Now I myself am confident concerning you, brethren, that you are also full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to admonish one another. Thinking of this word admonish, you know, to correct, to help people learn, understand. But sometimes we don't do that quite right. Go back one. It says full of goodness. So when we are correcting a brother or sister in Christ, when we're trying to encourage them through correction, are we doing this with a thought of goodness in our heart? Are we doing this with... Are we doing this as we're just trying to, you know, you've done something wrong and I'm just going to correct you, correct. If we're always tearing down like that, that doesn't help our fellowship. But if you are full of goodness when you're doing this and you are filled with all knowledge, sometimes we don't know everything about situations and we may be correcting something that might not, you know, if we're not fully knowledgeable about whatever the situation might be, if we're not fully knowledgeable about the Word of God, you know, if we are a newborn in Christ, it's kind of hard to correct somebody when we don't have that knowledge. So it's just, we need to be careful when we do admonish one another, because we are told that we should admonish one another. But it has to be with the thought of goodness in our hearts and with the knowledge of what needs to be admonished or needs to be corrected. Romans 16, this is some of my favorite. Greet one another with a holy kiss. I don't know that we do that as well as we should in the assemblies or here in this local body. I'm not talking about a lot of kissing necessarily, but the greeting, I think we should probably do a better job of greeting one another, being open and welcoming to each other. And we're going to see that again. 1 Corinthians, we're in chapter 11. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. This is an interesting one, because at first I was thinking, I mean, I know that 1 Corinthians 11 is a lot of instruction for the church. We are given, in the beginning part, we're given this knowledge of headship. And then we talk about head coverings, and then it talks about the Lord's Supper, and it talks about when you're coming together to eat the Lord's Supper, they're not waiting on each other, some are really, really hungry, and it's just seems to be a chaotic scene as you read that. But this says to wait for one another. At our meeting, I have actually heard people say, you know, we have so many people that come to the Lord's Supper late. Why are there so many people that are late? It's always the same people, and they always come in the same amount of lateness. So why don't we just lock the doors and not let them in? Maybe they'll be on time next week. It's kind of funny, and sometimes I've had those thoughts. I'm not sure that that's what the Lord wants us to do. Wait for one another. Can we not show grace? Some people live farther away. Some people have big families. Some of the people who live far away and have big families have created a pattern of lateness because of big families. And maybe they're not big families anymore. And they've gotten to this sort of, pattern of doing things a certain way. But how about grace? Why don't we, with grace, wait for one another? That way we can encourage each other. And again, the idea is to build one another up, not tear each other down. We're not exactly an island assembly, but sometimes we do act like it in how late we tend to get things started and move around. But again, I would just plead for grace to wait for one another. 1 Corinthians 12. Verses 23 through 25. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it. There should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. When we were in South Carolina, one of the meetings that my wife and family were in, there were probably maybe 30 members in that meeting, and they had, I want to say it was anywhere from 8 to 10 speakers in that meeting. They didn't have any children's meeting. They didn't have, there wasn't a lot else except for teaching. And there seemed to be a real emphasis on teaching. When we moved there, I sort of felt bad because they kept saying, oh, can you preach the word? Can you speak? Can you do this? I was like, at that time, I was like, no, I'm still somewhat shy and not that confident in my ability to present the word like that. So no, okay. Well, and I was like, whoa. It's like there's this real big appreciation for the ministry of the word and not much any appreciation for anything else, for children's work, for the ladies' meetings. And it was just very, very difficult time while we were there. Thankfully, the Lord didn't leave us there. Well, I say thankfully. He could have used us there to help with that as well. But again, I wasn't as mature in Christ as I am now, and sometimes I still wonder about now. But it was just interesting. So we need to be careful that we have the same care for one another. Every part that this body plays, members of one another, each of us do different parts. You know, we have some that are the mouthpiece. We have some that are hands, some that are feet. We have some that do things that are behind the scenes that you never see. Like all the stuff that was at the picnic at the park that just didn't miraculously appear there. The grill and the food that was cooked and all this other stuff didn't just miraculously happen. It was because someone put the time and effort to do it. And we should be, we should have the same care equally for the different ministries that go on here within this body. 1 Corinthians 16:20, again, greet one another with a holy kiss. Encouragement for our greeting. And in 2 Corinthians 13:12, greet one another with a holy kiss. Galatians, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. Here we see this through love. We'll see love mentioned again and again and again. And this is one for service. Again, as we serve one another, as we through love, because of our unconditional love for the Lord Jesus, not necessarily for a person, I mean, we do need to love them, but sometimes that's hard. Sometimes that's difficult. But we think about, we're doing this for the Lord because of what he's done for me. It makes it easier when I know that what I am and how far he had to reach to get me, I need to be willing to reach far for someone else to serve them. Galatians 5:15. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. This is interesting. Bite and devour. I had to look these words up in the Greek because I wasn't exactly sure. I knew that we weren't a group of cannibals. And so we weren't going to bite and devour one another. At least I hope not. But this word bite means to rend the wound, to rend and wound the soul by reproaches. Again, you know what it's like to come to pick a scab until it bleeds, right? And when we go to someone and we see that they're doing something wrong and we go again and again and again and we hit the same thing over and over and over and over again, it does open up a wound, right? To devour means to eat away until nothing left. So if we are continuously, I keep using this word wrong, if we continually try to reproach one another. We are told to admonish, right? one another. But if we continually eat away at each other until there's nothing left, that comes back to you. With what you mete out, it will be meted to you. What I do to someone, it's going to come back to me. So be careful lest you be consumed by one another. Again, that word consume is totally used up, totally expended. So we just need to be careful when we are trying to help someone and correct them, that we do it in love and we do it in a way that we're not constantly berating them and making them feel like that they have no worth. Verse 26, let us not be conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Again, the same thought here in Galatians 5:15 and 26 about provoking each other. And, you know, fathers, do not provoke your sons or children to wrath. Well, we should not be provoking each other either, or envying one another. And I have trouble with this because I, you know, wish I could speak as eloquently as Skip. I wish I could. You know, there's things that I do envy about others. But we need to be careful that we don't puff other people up by putting them on a pedestal or whatever. Skip's tall enough anyway. Just kidding, Skip. I'm glad you are a forgiving, loving brother. Galatians 5:13. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Here again, we're told to bear each other's burdens, to carry each other's burdens, not to build down, build up. How can we do that? By bearing each other's burdens. Hey, can I help you carry that through the door? Hey, I see that you are really under a lot of stress. Is there something I can do to help? You've got so many things going on. Is there something I can do to help you with that? I mean, just things that we can look at each other and try to bear each other's burdens. In Ephesians chapter 4, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Here we have this idea of unity again. But we're looking at bearing with one another, not bearing your burdens, but bearing with, because sometimes we can be, was it aggravating or contentious folk? But what does it tell us? It tells us that we should bear with one another in love. And again, it's this idea, this is not something that is natural. This is something that, because we know the Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior and we've seen unconditional love, we can love unconditionally. We can bear with each other. Idea with lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering. Idea that we are not above anybody else. Again, this idea of preferring one another over to ourselves and being able to bear with one another, that we might keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. These things, as we go through them, you see them over and over again. And hopefully, and that's what I'm wanting to happen, is for us to get this idea of what the Lord is telling us. And this is that to have peace with one another, to have unity with one another, it's part of the Spirit. It's something that's not natural. It's because we are Spirit-led. If we are led by the Spirit, we are able to do these things. Ephesians 4:25, therefore, putting away lying, let each of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. And here's this idea again. We are members of one another. It's hard to, you know, it's hard when you hurt something in your body and it doesn't work like it used to. And you have to work around that. But we're members of one. If we're always trying to help each other and build each other up, the body works much more better. That is not really what I want. The body works better. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. And this, here's an idea of being kind and tenderhearted toward each other. And the idea of forgiveness, you know, people wrong us all the time. Believers, you know, we are a family. And as a family, when you're close to someone and someone close to you does something that hurts you, it hurts all the more. However, we need to be forgiving. Ephesians 5, 18 through 21. And do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Here we go. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. It's good we have music that we sing together on Sunday mornings and singspiration where we can come and celebrate. And when we go to each other's houses, and it's always good to have singing and encouraging one another in song. Also to submit to one another in the fear of God. There's a lot of difficulties in submission. But not if we're led by the Lord. If we're led by His Spirit, it makes submission that much easier. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem one another better than himself. Here's this idea again, preferring one another, esteeming one another better than yourself. To have a humble mind, a humble heart, humble attitude with your brethren, brothers and sisters in Christ. Lowliness of mind, not that, oh, I will condescend to be lowly as you are, but no, in lowliness of mind, realizing what the Lord had to go through to save us, we should be willing to and understand that our place is not being higher than anyone else. We are indeed lowly. Colossians 3, verses 9 and 10. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Again, do not lie to one another. That doesn't help build each other up, does it? Does lie? No, does not. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Here's this again, bearing with one another, being lowliness, the humility and meekness and long-suffering, kindness, and forgiving one another. Again, things we've said before. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Again, this idea of teaching and admonishing one another. I love this thought here of admonishing one another in songs, spiritual songs. I don't know how we correct one another I don't know how my singing can correct you, but evidently it is so. Our singing could do it, but I just thought that was funny. But with the idea of teaching, not letting, as we are moving together as a body, being willing to teach, admonish, bring everybody up together. 1 Thessalonians 3, 12 and 13. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. With all his saints. Here we go, abounding in love once again. This theme of love just runs through all of these verses. 1 Thessalonians 4:9, but concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. 1 Thessalonians 4:18, therefore comfort one another with these words, comfort. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore, comfort one another and edify one another, just as also you were doing. There's this idea of comforting one another, being compassionate and caring, and putting yourself, going out of your way for someone that you might console and comfort one another. Again, comfort and edify. that we might build each other up. You see this over and over and over and over again in the scripture. All these verses talking about one another, our fellowship, our relationships with one another. It's built on love, and it's about building up and not about tearing down. And we do need to be instructed and admonished for things that we are not doing correctly. It all should be done in love. Beware, brethren, lest there be any of you with an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Now I'm coming close to my end of my time. I don't think I've ever run over in a message, so this would be a first. But I'll run through the rest of these really quick. I do want to get through them. We're going to exhort one another daily. Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Consider one another that we might stir each other up towards and with love and good works, and exhort to encourage one another. James chapter 4, verse 11. Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. So here we're not to speak evil of a brother. If we're going to have something bad to say about them, what should we do? We should go to that brother and admonish in love, not speak evil of one another. Do not grumble against one another, from James 5, 9. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. Again, there is that time where we'll be standing at the judgment seat of Christ, and we will have to give an account. If you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you'll be standing at the great white throne judgment, which will be a horrendous time where you will be sent away from God and away from everything that is good and holy and that would be just awful. But again, I would encourage you to trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior, that you might spend eternity with the Lord and not without Him. Do not grumble against one another. Again, do not speak evil of one another. Do not grumble with one another. Confess your trespasses to one another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Again, confess your trespasses to one another. If I've wronged you, then I should go to you and tell you that I've wronged you. Make sure you keep that, that line of communication between you and your brothers and sisters in Christ open by being open with them. And when you've done something wrong, admit it, confess it. Pray for one another again. That thought that how can I continue to harbor ill will in my heart for a brother or sister in Christ if I'm continually bringing them up in prayer before the Lord? 1 Peter 1, 22 and 23, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth of the Spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not a corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Again, love one another fervently, intense desire, intense thought behind that love. 1 Peter 3, 8, 9. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. Here's the thought of having compassion for one another. 1 Peter 4, 8, and above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Here we have this, again, this fervent love for one another, being hospitable in that love for one another, and ministering what? What are we to minister? The gift that God has given you. We all have been given a gift from God. When you're saved, He bestows at least one gift, maybe more. And we should be using our gifts. If you don't feel like you're using your gift in the assembly to help the assembly, to help us help each other grow, please let me, the other elders, know. because we would love to tell you what your gift is. We would love to work with you if you need to find out what your gift is, that you may use that gift to help us all, because we are not in this alone. We are members one of another, and we need to grow and walk thereby. So minister that gift to one another. Go. Likewise, younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Here is this idea of submissiveness again to one another. 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Idea of having fellowship with one another and our walking with others, walking together. If we walk in the light, you know, it's hard to have fellowship between two people if one of them's walking in darkness. And it is possible to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, to, in a sense, fall away, not fall out of the faith, but to fall away to a point where you are not walking in the light. And it's hard to walk with someone who is not walking in the light. So if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. 1 John 3, verses 10 through 12. In this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. We should again love one another. And this is the commandment, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Again, love one another. 1 John, I lose my voice now. 1 John 4:7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. And to belabor the point, love. 1 John 4:11, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. 1 John 4:12, no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. Again, love. 2 John 1:5, and now I plead with you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment to you, but that which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. So if we look at all these one another's that are in Scripture, that's aimed towards the church and our relationship with each other and our fellowship, there are 12 times that we are told to love one another more than anything else. That's what should be an example of our relationship with each other, that we love one another. Right under that is greeting each other with a holy kiss, which I just find that humorous for some reason, but it does point out the fact that we should be greeters. We should work much more diligently on how we greet one another and welcome and encourage one another. Comfort one another, exhort one another, forgive one another, admonish one another, bear with one another, edify one another, be like-minded with one another, submit to one another's, and you are members of one another. And there's a number of ones that were only mentioned one time, but still, this whole thought is our fellowship, our walking together with the Lord in this thing called the church should be evidenced by our love for one another. And the last two verses on here, Paul, ending in 1 Corinthians, says, let all that you do be done with love. In Jesus, in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you will also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Again, I think I've successfully withdrawn Whitney from this process. Hopefully you see that all of these verses and all this stuff that's coming out is not my opinion. This is what God is asking us to do, that we love one another fervently, that we show compassion for one another, that we try to build each other up. that we don't work in spitefulness, that we don't work in ways that tear each other down, but in those that build up. Let's pray. To Heavenly Father, again, thank you for your word. Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to read your word freely in this country. There's so many that do not have that opportunity. But Father, as we do, we just pray that as we've looked through your word and we've seen this encouragement to love one another, that we would do so because you've asked and because you first love us, and we love you and we would want to follow after you. But again, Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for those who come out this morning to hear it. And again, pray, Father, that your word would have its perfect work in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray.